made a podcast with all my friends. This is how the show always begins. I sure hope it's not shitty. I call it Secondhand City. Let's listen into the show. Okay, now this is the fifth episode of Secondhand King City, Secondhand City podcast. I am Secondhand King. We got two people. Well, one person I've been trying to get on the podcast for a really long time. You know,
who's that?
I thought you were gonna make that joke again. I'm not gonna edit anything from now on. I'm not gonna edit.
It's the roommate.
Chris, the roommate, is gonna be the co-host. But there's somebody who I've been trying to get on this podcast for a while, and finally, the stars have aligned. A black hole has come down from the universe, and I got the one, the only Steady
Mars
P.
Mars is in retrograde.
Hey.
The clap button, Steady P.
Let me get that.
What's good, Secondhand City listeners, interwebs, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Yeah. Steady is the owner of, he's a co-owner of Loop KC. He founded Indie Grind Entertainment. He makes great music, and he's an all-around great guy.
Thanks.
Wouldn't you say?
He manages a few people, too, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, he does well. He does well. Indie Grind, as a collective, has super talented artists. And basically, you can't talk about the Kansas City music scene without bringing up Steady P.
Oh man, I appreciate that. You know, we're just out here working, and Kansas City is a great place to be right now. I can't remember how the mayor put it. Like, you know, if you've never supported KC, you never will. You know, in terms of right now. And you know, it's a great time to be alive, you know, Indie Grind all day. And the Loop's doing well. Glad we were able to make the jump, you know, because we recently moved from the corner of 39th Street.
Which is a huge location. That's like a ginormous, and it looks great. I mean.
Yeah, originally we were on the corner of 39th Street, 3905. We moved down to 3955. The old Bangarang space, but you know, I'm out here, man, just making moves, trying to do my little entrepreneur stuff on the side of my rap career.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, you know.
Is it hard to wear both hats all the time?
I guess wearing both hats is warranted. You know, I brought it on myself. It's something I wanted to do. Never wanted to make my mind up. Just wanted to experience all of it.
But you juggle like a lot. If there's anyone I know personally that juggles a million things better, I mean, managing time is so fucking huge, and you do it with effortlessly.
I still feel, I don't know.
Do you feel that way?
I feel like being creative a lot.
Yeah.
That's the way that I feel, I guess. You know, and a lot of people look at it as like this, oh man, you're a machine, or you hustle like this, and I don't know, like I'm a little OCD, I'm a Virgo, you know what I'm saying? For people that you know, be paying attention to the stars, but
I have no idea what any of those mean.
Some people, you know, for those that know, pay attention to the stars. If I need to say astrology,
okay,
I'm sorry, you know, I'll start talking loosely. But
now feel free, say what
you,
I mean,
you know,
you know
what I'm saying, but you know, I just like to be, I like to be busy, I like to be creative. I'll be up, you know, just like blogging. I've gotten into blogging recently. When I just be writing bars, sometimes I just stop and look at dumb shit on the internet, like like most people do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm just like everybody else at home, trying to get high.
Yeah,
and look at
which
cool,
is what
and,
happening
and
in
look
the
at
studio.
Cool shit.
Or the
yeah, I mean, you call him roommate Chris.
We need like a cool. We were just talking
no,
about.
Don't
this.
Say fucking we, man. This is Steady, bro.
Okay, Steady. Hey, man. I'm completely
we,
out of
this.
This
ain't we,
nickname.
Man. We. Hey, man.
I'm not allowed to give a nickname.
I've got no way input. That's the rules of the game.
I don't have any input either.
Well, you can't give yourself.
I can't stand it when you suggest.
Me?
Someone.
Okay.
Someone makes a suggestion.
Yeah.
And the person next to the person who made the suggestion continues the thought.
We.
Leading with the word we. Like, real quick, you gotta watch these wise guys. This is Secondhand City. You know what I'm saying?
Dropping knowledge.
Glad to be here.
So what nickname were you gonna give?
Moniker.
Moniker.
Nicknames are for children.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? This is grown man shit, man. I walk in the door, man. He's got the IGE on. He's a soldier in this.
I'm wearing it out, man. I got filled up all over.
You know what I'm saying? I step in and it's fucking ladies, man, fucking Pootie Tang. I get back to
Okay, hold on. I know where you're going with this.
Whoa.
Okay, but go ahead.
I get back to Joe's area. I call it the bomb shelter.
It kind of looks like
fitting.
It's like the bomb shelter.
He's got all the necessities in here.
He's got
the records. He's got the record player.
Tons of records.
He's got his recording area.
Boom.
He's got his entertainment area.
Yeah.
He's got his music area. They're all the same thing.
It's extremely MTV Cribs worthy. But, you know.
Thank you. I feel like it's Redman. Yeah. I never leave this room. Like, no. Roommate Chris will.
He stays busy all the time. He'll pop out every once in a while and be like, check out what's going on TV. Check in, be like, how's your day? You do good? And I'll be like, yeah, man, what'd you do? I'll be like, oh, nothing. Just, you know, I'm in there either working on his album or working on someone's art or mixing something he already did or running his. He's got a little. I wouldn't even call it a little. I'd just call it a what?
Joe, smoke it.
What is your website?
Dude, I lose every time I get high.
Peer pressure.
Website.
Peer pressure.
Rap-royalty.com. It's a rap forum, and it's basically like a bunch of like kids all over the internet that are like rappers or just kind of enjoy rapping.
Yeah.
It's a long story. We won't get into all that.
He stays busy too, man.
I'm not that's steady awesome. P busy though.
No.
I'm not even close to that. Because Steady P is managing a real store in real life. Like, 10 years ago, did you think that you were going to be managing an actual clothing store / hip-hop boot? Like, I mean, there's so many things that go into that.
I guess I could say that maybe not 10 years ago, but
yeah.
Like, I know in 2007, one of my first tours, it was called the Unemployed Scholars Tour. Cause we were like fresh out of college on some fuck job shit. Cause like, you know, where I come from, like I was the first in my family to graduate from college, so it was like a big thing.
Congrats.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I think that was sound effect worthy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure, man. For sure.
That was, you know.
Let's see, we got
the first in my family, you know, to graduate college. You know what I'm saying?
Money.
That means that we getting that bread because we educated out here, and then you know, but
give it to me, man.
You're fucking up my rhythm, man. You can't give it.
Ah, there it is.
This is terrible. He's terrible. He did, man, he did me like that out there world. I was going to say America, but, you know, we just going to talk.
America listens.
We just go talk to the people in Tokyo right now.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's like that out there. Secondhand city.
Money. Cool.
Man,
I mean,
so we going to turn it around on you right
what's
now.
What's my nickname, motherfuckers?
Yes. Yeah, we never... Moniker. It's not a nickname. It's a moniker.
It's moniker.
And we keep getting distracted. We need to give... Because I can't call him roommate Chris.
I just want
to
know.
Man, it's got to be like... it's something like... like Don Honcho. Or like... It's gotta be something that's very
Chris the Don.
Very
C Fernando.
Listen.
I kinda like that
listen,
one.
Very, very masculine, very Western.
Yeah.
Very dirty.
Dirty.
Dirty, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
With a touch of class.
Right.
Yeah.
Well. As I drink this High Life.
High Life.
Touch of class.
Touch a little bit of class. Like, just enough that you can afford.
It's the champagne and beer, bro.
Yeah.
Man, secondhand city is lit.
That's right.
Bitch.
Is there a gunshot on that? Like a.
Yeah, you
know?
Hear it?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's the worst gunshot of all time.
Shoddy.
So, secondhand city, we ain't here with Don Honcho.
Don Honcho.
Don
That's
going
to be a hard one to explain.
People will know. It'll make sense to people.
Two people call me Don Honcho.
It doesn't matter.
Everyone
is
going
to. It's got
to
be able to move in quick ways, like Don Honcho, DH. You know what I'm saying? He's the designated hitter, Mr. Steal Your Girl. Like
my girl over here is done.
You know what I'm saying? Like he steps in the bat. He hits home runs. You know, fucks your bitch.
That's what happens.
DH.
Don Honcho.
Don Honcho.
Don Honcho make your chick break up with you.
Look. Real shit.
Yeah.
For 15, like, just close your eyes and just think about it.
Okay.
About a tan brown, like Don Julio looking motherfucking club.
Yeah.
Like steps to yo bitch, talking about, hello, I'm Don Honcho. In the club, nigga, you turn around, you be like, hello. Yeah. Like with the accent, hello, I'm Don Honcho. you would turn around the club, and you'd be like, hold up, nigga. hey, in America, you gotta watch them accents.
It's
okay. They're sexy. They're appealing. They're mysterious. They're foreign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I do a good accent though, man.
Man, you know, I be trying to come up with them. I got
You got characters?
Give me French Pete. Nah, I got like A1 grit.
A1 grit, yeah, what's that one?
A1.
Yeah, that one. Come on, you A1 grit.
Poor shit.
A1 grit is like it's like my cousin on Van Brunt or
give us an example of this.
Like
you're at McDonald's.
Like
or something.
She got your order wrong.
She got your order fucked up.
What was that again? 81 grit.
A1 grit,
he'd be like excuse me. Excuse me. I ordered a quarter pounder with double cheese and no onions. Okay. Oh, that's some racist shit right there. You know what I'm saying? I tell these bitches, nah, man, flip the skis out, man. I ain't one gritter, nigga. I'm about this bitch, nigga.
That was pretty good.
That was great.
That's gritter.
Who else you got?
What people can't see is when he gets into these characters, like there's a mode that comes that happens. Like you close your eyes, you become A1 grit.
For sure.
I saw it. I was there.
Yeah.
I was in McDonald's.
I wasn't there in McDonald's.
I was there.
It was a drive-thru.
I was in behind. Oh,
it was
a drive-thru. I was in the other car then.
It was a drive-thru.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in the back seat. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay, anyways, what else? Don't give me a look.
So, hey.
What look is that?
What? DH?
DH, what's that?
Don Honcho.
Don Honcho, man.
That sounds like a porn star name.
Bro, it's incredible, bro.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You know, I'm not doing bad, but I ain't no porn star.
In another life.
You know what I mean?
It only speaks to the stroke.
Okay. I could work with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's why I said it's dirty.
I got that down.
It's dirty, but like a weak stroke.
Yeah.
It would just be like,
yeah. Okay, we're getting way off topic. Let's get back on topic. Maybe there's not really a topic on this
show. You don't have any topic.
I know, but
hey, oh,
we have things to talk about.
The other day when you didn't show up.
Who? We? Me? Oh yeah, me and Chris.
Me and
yeah.
All right, he told me. He told me the story. Okay, I'm gonna do the setup.
Okay.
All right.
Joe, secondhand king.
Yeah.
SHK.
Yeah.
If you want it broken down.
Mr.
Schick. Mr. Bomb.
Bomb. That's good. All right. So, he's a little bit of a dick, but he's
kind
a dick
of.
In a funny way.
Yeah.
He's not like
he's a dick.
Purposely a dick. Like, I want to make you cry dick.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like, I'm going to say some shit, and you're going to feel bad about what I say. But you probably won't give a fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
like
what I mean?
I'm gonna enjoy it.
We'll laugh about
it. You're gonna
it later
feel
at the
you're
house.
Gonna feel weird about it.
So he comes in and he's like, new girl at work. I'm like, oh yeah, what's the deal with that? He's like, well, she's a cashier. I went through her line twice today. I was like, twice? What the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, well, the first time, and I'm gonna let him take over. From
okay.
Because
this is one thing I like to do when I see new people at work.
What was the question you asked her? Do you like working here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. God. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I have to be
like
careful. I have to be careful because a lot of people I work with listen to this show.
This is fantastic, though. She's
yeah.
the new girl still.
She's the new girl. So I have a thing where I like to just get inside of somebody's head. Like there was one guy who had just started. And I convinced him. I know, but I have a thing. I convinced him that he's not allowed to make eye contact with me for the first 2 months of us working. Like every time I'd go through his line
maybe
purposely.
He is trying to make people cry.
I'm not.
That was kind of fucked up. Like he can't look in
like
your
he,
eyes.
He had to
months?
Look above me at all times. So this girl. Okay, so this girl, I'm going through a line and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like talking to her and she goes, she goes, yeah, I've been here about, I don't know, maybe, I've been here about 2 weeks, and
what
was like,
what character are you doing right now?
That's her, that's
what's
the girl.
Her what's her moniker?
Her moniker is,
Sally Joe.
Sally okay. Joe,
I don't know,
she may eventually listen to this podcast. Should I care? I don't care. I don't fucking care. All right.
Say her real name. Say it with your chest.
I don't remember her real name.
And that's honest.
That's honest. So this girl, I go through her line, and I'm like kind of like I'm just having like a conversation with her. I'm like, hey, you just started? She goes, or I go, yeah, I feel like like shit. And she goes, why? Why do you feel like shit? And I go, cause I don't know, cause I'm here right now. And she goes, what? This place is actually cool. Like it's really hip. And people like it, and I can't say.
Whole Foods is it a grocery store that just floated off at the end of South Park?
Yes.
All right.
This was like 2 weeks, like a week ago.
All right. So you tell her.
Yeah. This story is falling apart. All right.
So Joe goes, you like working here? And she's like, essentially, she said, yeah.
Yes.
And he goes, that's fucking stupid. Essentially, that's how the story fucking goes. And she's like, you were dumb for like working here. You will not like it for long. And then he exits the line, right?
And then I exit the line. And I come back. And I come back the second time. And she goes, she looks at me right in the eyes. And she goes, you again. So I knew, like, I had her. Like, that moment, I just had her. And so I'm like here, I'm just kind of shitting on her for like 5 minutes while I'm just kind of slowly giving her my shit through the line. And at the end of the conversation, before I even finish my sentence, she goes, thanks, see you later.
Joe's constantly dropping little like fucking ringing that shit.
Yeah. Essentially, that's what it was.
Anyway, it was a much better story the first time I read it. You get the gist.
Yeah.
Slightly dickheadish.
I'm a dick.
That's what we were going to record last time. Kind of glad we waited for this one.
Yeah. It's an okay story. I don't know. I am a dick is what we're trying to get out here.
Mild.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
He wanted a girl to text him the word pickle.
Okay. Are we going to get into all my personal shit?
We won't get into that one.
So steady P. Shit. Steady P, we're 20 minutes into this podcast.
That's it?
Steady's feedback for my podcast was make it shorter. I don't know if I have that in me. Because I have so many questions I want to ask you, Steady. For one, okay, you've been on the road doing it for like a decade. Right?
It's true. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So you've seen some shit.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, you have you've run the gambit almost. Would you say? Like, you see a lot of these newcomers.
I'd say outside of being the most, you know, popular in the game, I guess, or being the South By's darling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we've scraped the bottom of the barrel and grinded and came from nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So but yeah, for what it's worth, you know.
Well, you had a saying that really stuck with me that you told me once. It was a crabs in the barrel metaphor.
Yeah.
Do you remember specifically what that was? Because it was. I'm not trying to be.
Well, it was.
I don't want to butcher it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. I know what you're talking about. I probably would butcher it now, but it's just more or less along the terms of like. Because I was even telling my dad like everyone is out here, trying to be number one, yeah. Trying to be Jay-Z, trying to be Kendrick, J. Cole, Drake, whoever the guy is, they want to be the guy. And my whole life I've always wondered or speculated that there's got to be someone somewhere, some ill artist, incredible artist. We don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a few of them.
And, you know what I'm saying? There's probably a few of them, and he probably makes $400,000 to $500,000 a year. And I feel like just where I'm at, like personal belongings and things, like I don't really need a lot of them, you know. And so I just feel like my psyche, with not only myself but the label. Is not towards constantly trying to be the best, but to preserve longevity, building, you know, almost aspects of a union. I read books and things, and I'm trying to like build more in terms of like a community. Always have, and it's always been labeled first outside of my solo career. My career will always be there because. There's a label business endeavor, but as far as like curating more artists of what Kansas City has to offer in the other side of Kansas City or the new Kansas City, those are things that like don't get a lot of help, don't get a lot of leverage, don't get a lot of financing, don't get a lot of people fighting for it.
There's not even support in a lot of these artists. They don't even come out and, you know, I think.
Yeah, but I don't want it to turn into the like habitual nagging story that you always hear about it. You know, about the artist needing support and this and that and the third. Like, you know, to be honest with you, 9 out of 10 of these artists, they're coming up short.
Yeah.
And a category that is just important for their success. You know, and it's probably only 3 or 4 categories. You know, 3-4 things that you really need to make sure you do to be successful here in this small market town.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of guys can't even get the basics down. And people get, you know, emotional and whatever. It's like, look, man, there hasn't been a rapper since Mac Lethal and Joe Good that ever sold out Record Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's been a handful of indie ground shows that were like capacity shows, but in terms of like pre-selling out a show,
yeah,
you know, like that hasn't happened for a long time. There's artist here signed on big major labels still won't sell out that small room. Like, it's just, it's an interesting conundrum for Kansas City that I've always been obsessed with. Like, why is it, like, why is this?
Yeah.
You know, shout out to King Tech. You know, he's down the street, 30 blocks, with 4,000 people in a venue.
Yeah.
And his own artists are down the street, 30 blocks, can't get 400 people, those people. You know, and meanwhile, the locals fight the exact same fight.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that people need to understand that. You know, and this is something in terms of, like, hip-hop, you know, music is happening, evolution is happening, genre bending, blending. It is what it is. You know, and some people are accepting, some people are welcoming, some people can't stand it.
What I appreciate about that is you never once mentioned that you have to live in L.A. or New York to make it.
Nah, man.
And a lot of people have that. They feel like, well, if I was in L.A. or New York.
I think more and more these days, and I don't want to say, like, blah, 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 KC.
Yeah.
Like, I love KC. That's just tattooed on my body. Born and bred. Fucking will be buried here. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, look around the country. Like, what's going on are insurgences of DIY movements.
Yeah.
People not going to college.
Yeah.
People staying home, building, being creative, wanting to do music, wanting to build labels, wanting to do videos, and they're not going anywhere. Like I speak to people all the time, like talk about like my influences. Like I just like to study other scenes. Not just one artist, but like a whole like thing. You know, like the Chicago shit, it was like a thing. You know, there's like a thing going on in Toronto, you know.
Yeah.
Seattle, it's always been a thing, you know. And I like to think that, you know, people speak highly of Minneapolis in the Midwest in terms of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? And I've always felt like Kansas City is like this weird, bizarre place.
Yeah.
And like lyrically, some of the artists we have in hip hop, like they're tremendous artists. You know, up and down the gambit, like all sorts of people, like, you know, and not saying like cats hold discographies, but you can like we can have festivals of artists with great performances all day long. We proved that with Indie Fest last year.
Yeah, Indie Fest was great.
And I don't know, we just try to be a good influence out here to show people that they can do their own thing. You know, we're not trying to throw dirt on y'all shit or y'all movement if you're trying to do something else. You know, we've influenced a lot of other people. A lot of people that, you know, that admit it. Like, Caleb Coop's a good homie of mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he when he got here and we've always talked and shared whatever, you know, and friendly competition is friendly competition and
you're both people... Doing.
Yeah, you know, like you add to the city. It takes more than one, you know.
It's not absolutely. Like y'all aren't.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it most takes of a them, village and some.
Most of them are like, you guys put on a lot of good shows. He puts on a lot of good shows. And I think you guys probably put on a few good shows together, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're kept starting to work with us in the loop capacity. Things are,
yeah,
as far as Indie Ground goes, like it just got to the point where we tried to be too much at a time for the label, and then we expanded into management, and now where it is, I just think it's kind of like a collection of artists that they're just all doing their thing.
I think
people need to watch it more than anything than trying to like say what it is.
You know? I like the most is like, here's how I kind of feel it. All right, Indie Ground is your family. You know what I mean? It's not to say that those are the only people you support, and you have other ways to do it by putting on shows with the loop, by putting on. You guys used to do vacay shows too.
Yeah.
You know, the people that you're putting on kind of have to influence or be. I don't know, viewed with what's putting them on. And when you put them on with Vacay, that opened the door for some people you probably would never work with on Indie Ground.
Yeah.
But you're giving someone a shot, regardless of which label is on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at a time we were pumping Dom's music through one of my clothing brands, Vacay. And it eventually got him over to Indie Ground. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's like AAA.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Don.
Hey! Don Honcho.
Don Honcho. I mean, you know, that's on this show. You know what I'm saying? When you see him, in public, you got the respect. You know.
Fernando. Yeah. That's great. See what I like about I don't know. There's when I first came into the music scene and I saw Steady around, like when I came in, I was just a weirdo who was sneaking tequila into venues, which was weird. Like it was just weird. And when I first met Steady, you're pretty intimidating. And I thought you were from St. Louis when I first met you, but 5 years deep.
Me and him have different first impressions of
I know, right?
Chris has known you longer than I've known you.
I get around. I get around.
Had no music sound to it. It was friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Cool dude. We're hanging out. This is my homeboy Ray. Hey, this is Chris. Cool. Hang out. Drink Jameson. Fucking barbecue. Have a good time. And it grew from there. You know what I mean? Like, I got to know him a little better. I've seen him perform, but I never saw him work till one day I went over there at Indie Ground House. And you were talking about how he multitasks and does all this stuff. And the thing that impressed me probably the most is, like, got a meeting far. Go over there, sitting in the living room with you, chopping it up, having a good time, and then it comes time for meeting time. Right on the dot. Far, get in here. What are we doing? Where you want to go? Who you want to go with? What do you want to get on? It was straight business. And then as soon as business was done, you know, it's like, all right, meeting's over. Back to normal. And I was like, that's like a flip of a switch.
Yeah.
It was super productive. Like, I mean, you knocked it out, like, quick. Got all this information. Yeah. Email this dude. Email that dude. Blah, blah, blah. Like that's the business.
In the station. We used to have all these offices. And what I learned over the years is when you bring that group of people into an office and you're excited to do this, you put some stations here, stations there, da 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 da. Just wait till you have like an actual busy Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
And everyone's on the phone at the same time. Yeah. And you're in the office trying to work, trying to bang out a flyer, work on a verse, book a show, design a shirt.
Edit some pictures,
double check an order, run the UPS store to mail out some merch orders from the store. I mean, it's crazy. And recently I bought my first house. You know what I'm saying?
Congrats. That's good.
You know what I'm saying? Recently bought my first house. Yeah. And you know, I figured put my own office in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And have a lot of the label come and be a part of my twin boys and
cooking lunch.
Cooking, man. Eating, man. I feel like you gotta eat good, man. You wanna use your brain and a good mental capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, get you some good coffee, get you some good herbs, some good drink, good food, good breakfast. Breakfast is important. Vegetables, fruits, like, nigga, I'm into that shit, bro. Here, eat this. All right, let's plot. you know what I'm saying? Like, real shit, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's important.
Like old school or back in the day, like break bread.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man. Man, I got a love for traveling.
You got love for traveling, like driving?
Just
on the road, really?
Yeah, I'll do the driving. You know, I gotta get there.
As long as you end up somewhere different.
Gotta get there somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, I just really I don't take a lot of that music stuff for granted at all. I think it's a tremendous vessel to other avenues, platforms, just experiencing life. And for the artists in KC, I always want to kick that game to them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, you know, I hear and see a lot, and I just feel like, you know, for what's going on right now, like, we're in the age of information. There's no need to hold them keys back.
Yeah.
From what's next.
So when did Steady P become Steady P? That to me, because you have a drive that's not, nobody can teach that drive. So when did that become who you are?
I feel like when I was in school and I was rapping, and I was getting my shit together, trying to figure it out, and I was kind of a knucklehead,
mm-hmm.
and I've always like had like a caught little dumb cases and little shit like that, just because I like to smoke or whatever, and then like some shit went down. I got a bullshit case, and then it's like I'm in college, you know, so I shouldn't be in jail.
Yeah,
you know,
obviously, yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't be in jail. And earlier in the year, my brother had passed away, and I think it was like, and that was like January. And mm-hmm. I think this year I was in jail. March or April. It's 06.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was 06. And I just felt like that at that time, it was like, okay, I could go at any time. So I'm not gonna live my life anymore like I got 50 years guaranteed to me or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Especially when I just really wanted to do the music thing. I really wanted to start a label. I really wanted to be a part of
that's fucking great, a creative though.
Group. I really wanted to go on tour. Like even when I got back from school and shit, like, I'm just from KC, bro. Like, me going to Mizzou used to like be something for niggas in KC.
Yeah.
You know, and prior to that, I'd only been to like Oklahoma and Texas. Like, music is taking me coast to coast and to Canada and continue to not only travel but financially support myself and others, and then kick this game and bestow this game to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they're doing it, and they're like, oh my god, you know, because like for cats from our part of the country, we don't get out like that.
No.
At least not a lot of us, you know. We don't come from families like that. I never went on a spring break trip.
Yeah.
Never. I remember this, because in Kansas City, you talk to people in high schools and shit, and people, you know, nah, yeah, we bro. Went to Mexico. Nah, bro. Nah, bro.
We went to the fucking Lake Perry, or fucking something like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, though. Now, I know the music part of it is what made you love this to start with, but did you gain anything by like having a genuine interest in the behind the scenes aspect of it as well? Did you like quest to learn,
you know,
like the booking and
so
and
my all of that? My brother that passed in 06, his name was Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another brother, older brother, by the name of Kevin, and he was in the music business, and he was a producer during the New Jack Swing era.
Mm-hmm.
Like R&B, late 80s, early 90s, Low Key, Janet Jackson, Too Close.
Janet, back then.
Like, you know,
he
like,
wrote
you
for
know,
Janet Jackson.
Like, bro, you know Next, Too Close, that song?
Yeah.
Like, you remember that song that, boo-doo-boo-boo-boo, like,
yeah.
My brother played that.
Holy shit.
Like, you remember Adina Howard?
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be a freak.
Freak like me.
Like, my brother. Yeah. Like my brother produced that whole record.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did he do that out of Kansas City, or did he do it somewhere else? Did
he I think that he did a little bit of work abroad and okay. Here. He worked a lot with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis from Morris Day and the Time out of Minneapolis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So he's connected. And he's in the scene.
He would go to Atlanta, and he would go to L.A.
What's he do now? Is he still writing?
He's not in the business anymore. Later, he used to do a lot of DJing for 107.3.
Okay.
And these days, you know, he's just kind of working and doing his thing and kind of maneuvering on his own accord. He's older now, but he's still out here.
Yeah.
He plays with he plays with Reggie B in The Solution.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he plays bass with him.
So seeing your brother in that kind of that capacity, Chris was asking about the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I remember hearing you say one time, like, I used to sweep floors just so I could see how.
Oh wow! Oh wow!
How man. All the stuff behind the scenes was done.
Yeah, man. I guess so like. My brother was in the industry. I mean, he's got plaques, and there was an era of music where you'd get in the business. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
You're in the business in the capacity that you wanted to be. Even your name is recognized. Even your like the plaques. I mean, the classic like Straight Outta Compton movie scene with Ice Cube. Going and breaking the plaques.
Yeah.
Like, real shit. That happened all the time. No, real shit. Like, that shit happened all the time. Like, people, like, getting their accreditation, their plaque.
Yeah.
And they ain't got no money. Like, even, they just released, like, that fucking TLC movie. Like, same shit.
Just didn't have any money.
Like, they got all these plaques, and, like, they didn't have no money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and, like, that was... Bro, my brother had a firsthand experience of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so growing up, because it's hilarious, because I was just talking with somebody. So growing up, I always wanted to try to, I was like, I'm going to do music, but now I got to own my shit. So a lot of the people, like, man, I just wanted to be Suge Knight.
Suge Knight with some extra talent.
I know.
Yeah,
I
there you go.
It was Suge Knight's big.
I hate to say it, but I would watch TV. I'd be like, man, look at this big intimidating nigga. Like, they ain't going to go steal his shit. Now, he done fucked all the way up in retrospect. But I don't know, man. And then when I got to, like I got out of high school and I went to college immediately because I had to, I had the scholarship opportunity, but in retrospect, it was more like a. You're gonna take these classes,
yeah,
and you gotta get this GPA, and you gotta get this,
yeah,
and we'll let you in the school,
and
we'll give you some money.
Right,
that's pretty good.
But if you don't do this, you gotta go home.
Yep.
And peace.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was like I graduated high school and then I went down there like 2-3 days later and it was just like some shit where I was a delinquent at home and you know, and Casey and I went down there and I always wanted to rap, so I just like started rapping. And that was in Columbia. And like kinda. In KC it's like to this day, like when I left,
mm-hmm.
I still even remember like who was in the pitch, like what names were in the pitch,
mm-hmm.
and who, you know what I'm saying, like who the scene was. It was the exact same people that were like there when I came home.
Yeah.
You know, 7 years later.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like real shit, bro. Like, and I always, you know, and I always knew that. And I learned so much of the game because like, man, we were touring the country from Columbia. Like I was in school touring. Like as an act, like I was
wow.
skipping class, like fuck that, like unemployed scholars tour, and like making money,
yeah,
you know, like it was crazy, and because we had like this hip hop night called Mad Real Mondays, kind of like our hip hop and hot wings in Columbia, and it's just everyone in the country was just passing through,
right.
You know, on their tours, like you just met so many people, like how could you not go,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, then in Columbia, I would work with bands. I'd do band shows and cover things, and I got an opportunity to I guess kind of be the janitor, sweep floors. I was dating the bartender at Mad Rule Mondays, and dude, I was the doorman. I was the whatever. Security. I was the host. I was the rapper. I was the, you know, and I would always tell myself that there's only gonna be one guy who's gonna come out of there that's gonna have like a real career.
Yeah.
One guy. I would just tell myself that like all the time. I was like honing my craft, and I always knew I would come home to KC too. You know, yeah. Like then I, cause you gotta go home and get home.
Well, the hip hop and Hot Wings, that was kind of the.
Yeah, I played one of the last ones. Yeah. It was just kind of like at the end of their run. It's just like eras are a real thing. You know,
yeah.
Age groups,
oh, yeah.
And things like that shit's a real thing. You know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. You got a show coming up in Columbia, since we're getting all nostalgic. You're opening for Naughty by Nature?
Naughty by Nature.
What day is that on again? That's not
motherfucking.
Like, that's not this weekend, right?
Motherfucking Trigger Tretch, bro. It's next.
I mean, that's my area.
Bro, it's next Friday in Columbia, Missouri.
Not this Friday.
Good. Naughty by February Nature. 9th. Legends.
I got a 4-day
legends.
Weekend.
February.
Get off Thursday.
February
19th.
Nice.
February
I'm
19th.
I'm gonna check.
You should
out
come down.
I'm gonna check.
It's only
out.
2 hours.
Place to stay?
If you come down, I'll get you in. Don't worry about that.
I'm worried about sleeping, man.
We'll get a hotel or some shit.
I'm with that. I got 4-day week.
You also are opening for Del, the Funky Homo Sapien.
Ooh,
I just saw that announced.
That's a big one.
It's like legend after legend. You just opened for Staley.
Staley. Yeah.
You opened for Bone as a crew.
Yeah, you just meet, you know.
Last summer, that was a good show.
That's pretty good.
That was a good show.
I was just doing my job, man.
Man,
doing my job.
I've missed so many good shows here lately.
Yeah.
That I've been disappointed about. I had a ticket to Run the Jewels.
You know, hey, man.
I ended up giving that away.
But, you know,
I was too tired to
got a show coming up March 19th at the Riot Room.
I think I just saw the flyer for that.
Best damn rap show, period.
Boom.
Is Tef Poe going to be there?
He's,
is that what?
He's not.
Cause
that was a
throwback.
Man,
and
throwback.
I was like. Yo, that would be a good.
I was showing people like real shit. Like this is how deep. Like I'm in.
Rockwell
like
Knuckles.
Like I like in today. Like in a meeting, in a Riot meeting. Like you know how Facebook it pops up your memories now.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 years ago you were doing this, and it's like man, you know we haven't did the best damn rap show since, and even then when we did it, it was in St. Louis.
Huh.
So you know we're bringing it to KC. KC scene is just out of control right now.
What can
now.
You say to a bunch of these kids that are coming up?
KC is crazy right now.
Yeah, but like what? Like there's so much. I feel like Kansas City, like you were saying, is in this really good weird spot where we have so much tangible talent, and I feel like there's a lot of really good things happening. So what can you tell these kids that are just dying to get on an indie ground show or whatever? What advice can you give these kids that you didn't have coming up?
Well, man, one thing I tell them is like Hip Hop and Hot Wings was a weekly.
Yeah.
Mad Real Mondays was a weekly. That was Columbia, Missouri. The Basement in St. Louis. The Science in St. Louis. Those are weeklies. All eras before the kids. There aren't even monthlies for them. Like, I was on stage every week. There's a reason why, you know, like a Cess Crew, you know, an Approach, Reach, some of these people in Kansas City in the history, you know, Mac Lethal. You know, these guys had microphones in their hands so frequently. And I did too. It's how you learn.
Yeah.
You know, and then what happened, you know, just evolution happened, music changes, and that wasn't available for the kids and like it was for us. Some guys just be like, fuck the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't be like that. You know, that was a big reason why we started Midwest Got Next.
Right.
Because how I met you guys. I mean, we were bored. Like, yeah. We were bored. There were kids weren't doing shows. And it's like, man, we can't play 20 times a year.
Not to the same crowd.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, don't think, you know, just because we throw a show or our brands on there, it's like where they're making money. Like, nah, we come home with zero all the time. It's a duty to the scene, mm-hmm. so that you can like a hip hop scene needs a place of gathering. Yeah. You can't start networking and getting busy unless cats are in a room.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, at a time I know that I needed to get my face out more with these kids, but they weren't coming to my shows at the time.
Right.
And I can't force feed them my music. Right. So it's like, you know, you got to give back to something that you want from.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like even at where I was, people were like, "Oh, you doing it?" But still, it's like, nah, the city's not fucking with me. So, you know, if you look at some of the moves I've been making, it's kind of like more reserved. I'm at home. I'm working. I open the loop. Midwest Got Next. Regular functions and really trying to do more for the city. Almost like Big Proof and D12 did for like Detroit. Cause that's what we need. Like me trying to be a rap star. Like, bro, there's a billion rappers on the planet. Like the Eminem, 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg era is over. You know what I'm saying? Like. I don't know. We're in a good era now.
Somewhat. I'll say two words that would contradict that.
Somewhat.
Statement.
Okay.
Slim. Jesus.
Okay, that's different.
I threw those
There's
names
levels
out there.
To this,
I
though.
Threw those names out there to speak to like
just
the
like three of them.
To, for reference, just for hip hop listeners listening. I spit those names out there for like historical commercial sales reference people. In terms of like hip hop and rap and sales.
But you do you want to be famous? You specifically?
I don't think so, man. Like, nah. Like I have everything that I've ever wanted, mm-hmm. and I didn't think I was going to get it for real. And now and it's like you really can do it on the grind, slow money, like with some extracurriculars, like you can't just rap these days. Like, man, I shoot videos. I run a label. I manage. I have like fashion brands. I've ran fashion shows. I'm just into being creative. I like it. And I tell a lot of the guys that we manage, like, yeah, let's go after this music career. But look at the artist that you aspire to be. They're always in the press for doing something else.
Yeah.
They were at such and such club. They were at such and such basketball game courtside. They were at this charity event, da 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 da. You want to be a star? Well, live it. This is what I tell people. And it's like, bro, I shit you not. It's like the minute I did this, like, and like went this way with the energy, then people are acknowledging it, you know, me for this. It's like now it's like, you know, I read stories or whatever, local press. It's like local entrepreneur Ray Pierce, also known as rapper Steady P. So like now it's like, cause like, and that, and look, just like, look at the, think about the, like the mental of that shit. Like they play up your government and me being like an entrepreneur over like, yeah, also known as rapper.
Well, it's better than being
real
like
shit. I know
this
I,
rapper
I understand.
Kind of does some other shit.
It's better.
Yeah,
I think so.
Is it?
I think it's
who made this rule? I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm new to this.
Right.
So I'm just saying like just something I noticed. I'm like, this is interesting.
What's something like?
It's like so okay.
It comes from the rap.
Like dirty
then,
rapper. So
yeah.
this is like the you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Remember when Jay-Z was hood and then Jay-Z became Jay-Z and niggas started knocking the suits.
I ain't gonna put on no suits now,
but
it's one good and one bad. I'm just saying one's good and one's slightly better. I'm not saying that, like, there should be no shame in being, like, a rapper. There should absolutely
not at all. But, and that's why I was bringing light. That's why I was bringing light.
Yeah.
To, like, why? Like, I see this shit. Yeah. I see it. And also, it's like people talk to me about it, and it's like, I can't lie. Like the way the city, like, responded to us was night and day difference upon opening the loop.
Let me ask you a question, Joe.
Yeah.
Do you want to be super famous?
Do I want to be famous?
Yes, Ray.
He does. I don't want to let him lie. and he might lie. He might lie right now.
I see, like, I don't know. I mean, I see... It's a loaded question.
Though. Do you want to be famous? But here's the difference.
He's younger right now. Though. He's younger though.
That's true.
This will be different. It depends. I guess honesty, being honest with yourself, yeah. I think is a big part of this.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, and like, how much money do you want? And like, take it from me. Like, take it from someone who does make money. Like, hey, bro, the more money you make,
yeah,
the more money they make.
They
like Uncle Sam.
Okay.
I honestly sometimes be feeling like I don't want to make no more money. like on some fuck y'all motherfuckers, yeah. Man. Don't nobody want to pay them first off.
I want to pay them. Like that's always big for me.
Look, human music will happen when people can figure out how to support themselves in human means. Like, yeah. I always hated working for, like some fast food restaurants are always fun when you're a kid because you're surrounded by kids. So I'm not gonna knock that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm really not, because people knock that little shit, and I think like, nah, I just can't knock that shit. That's part of like an experience. If you're like a kid,
you're going to school. And you're working.
I've had a million shitty jobs. But then when you get older, you're supposed to get like a gig, you know.
That's in my mind. That whole last thing you were talking about. The whole thing I was thinking is, like, there's people that will try to make music and work a 9-to-5 or whatever kind of job they have to, and just, like my roommate, be miserable at this fucking 9-to-5.
It's very biased.
Honestly, I don't know how famous Joe wants to be. I think
it's just it's binding. Music, it's binding on the creative space.
If I made enough to pay your bills and be able to retire at some point. Or whatever, and enjoy every minute of everything you're doing for work. Like, that's a life well lived. You know what I mean? If you made it through and you're like, all I did my whole life is what I love, how could you say you don't have to be a millionaire?
It's like probably not even 5% of the music industry that'd be going on tours like 40, 50 cities.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of your favorite artists, their tours is like 15 cities.
Yeah.
20 cities. That's it.
How many are you going on? I mean, you set up some pretty elaborate tours.
I don't know, man. Like, these days, the game's just different. Yeah. These days, you want to go everywhere. I still want to go everywhere. You know, I got a family at home and the label and business endeavors. So, like, it's like my life is changing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something... That's something that, like, I'm adjusting to every day.
Have you seen Jersey Boys?
No.
You haven't seen that?
Nah.
There's a perfect scene that really replicates this.
I know how some people are, like, movie buffs.
Yeah.
And I like to call myself a movie buff, but it's not true at all. Like I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't listen to a lot of music outside of rap.
Yeah.
Which people knock me for. You know, I have an extensive catalog of music outside of rap. I can tell you about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Just because of my family and we're rooted there. So it's like, I don't know, I did my homework. You know what I'm saying? I kind of did my homework and ran off with it.
You have a direct vested interest in rap music, though.
Yeah.
You kind of have to keep your ears.
I love rap. But I don't know, man. Those questions are tough, man. I would just have to say, like, it's just like a need. There's just a need to be creative at all times.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I don't feel like that, I don't know. Like, I remember the last time I was ever working for anyone was 09. And I remember work. I was working. Let's see. I worked for Cricket Wireless. I worked for NCO. I worked on the phones.
Yeah.
Kind of shit. I explained to people how to, like, set up their modems.
Did you have your own little cubicle?
I worked for Service Magic. I had a cubicle. But I had this crazy job where it's like I was, like, making, like, 15, 16 bucks an hour plus commission. Like, people were making, like, cheese at this job. They had quotas and Hawaiian shirt day and all that shit.
Wow. Hawaiian shirt day.
You know, like cubicle captain or whatever you want to call it.
That's awful.
Like, team lead.
Cubicle
team
captain.
Or whatever, you know, like.
That's not real, is it?
Like, bro, and basically what I did when I moved home, I bit the bullet and was like, I'm a smart kid. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this as long as I can and save money. And when I was saving the money for style like mine.
Okay.
And it was just, I had this big elaborate plan, you know? And, this is crazy if I'm gonna let this go. So I had this big elaborate plan. I was like, all right, I gotta just alley-oop myself, like, right into rap, you know? I was like, how am I gonna do this, you know, in Missouri, you know? And it's like, I was already touring.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was just trying to fill the gaps. You know, I'd say I'd do 15 dates in 45 days here, and I was just trying to figure out how to make a particular amount of money per month. And I was like, all right, so I'm gonna work this job and I save the money for my campaign, and I maybe put like $7,000-$8,000 in the style like mine, and most of that was like studio.
Yeah.
To be honest, like at least half of that was just like studio, and what I did was strategically go down over time on my points at work. So I started getting warnings. And, man, I got this job. Like, I failed the drug test. I told him, and this was around the time that I had hurt my leg, and I told him I hurt my leg, and I was touring in California self-medicating, so I was going to fail your drug test. You know? and the girl was cute, and I think that she was flirty with me. Like, I don't know. I think that she was.
Yeah.
And she hired me, though.
I think you got the job.
She hired you. Yeah, she hired you. Then there you go.
She totally hired me, man. And, and man, that job was fucking crazy, bro. And, but, like, I strategically got fired about 45 days outside of my style like mine release date. So then when I got fired, I drew unemployment for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I had
days, I guess. Shit.
Yeah, bro. Like, and I'd be telling people, man, we used to read these books, like, you gotta get over on this system, bro. Like, you gotta, like, blood, sweat, tears. And if anyone knows anything about the music industry, financing is a fucking problem. Things are really, 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 really expensive. So it's not like, oh my God, he did what? It's like, nah, bro, they sent me $400 checks that I like I'd be like, I'm gonna put this in the t-shirts.
Yeah.
Little shit like that. And people, you know, little money, little slow money that people probably wouldn't have the patience for. I would always just scheme. I'm trying to figure it out, because it's gonna take everything. Because one thing about music, again, is just the financing.
Yeah.
It's so fucking expensive. And one thing I learned is you got to have in-house resources. I mean, Prince just went on something, was talking recently, and I swear to God, it sounds like something I've been talking about for 10 years. You know, and it's like, the more in-house resources we have, the less we have to pay for outside. And, you know, people be trying to charge you $50 to get a flyer made.
Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, we're trying to do 100 shows a year.
50, they're charging. Graphic designers are charging 200. If you want
that's what I'm
some
saying.
Special
like this,
shit.
You know, even like in-house, like some more game, like Moff. I remember back in the day, DJ Moff St. Louis, like great DJ, renowned DJ. people be charging like $30-$40 a flyer. You know, and I'd be like, man, like you're a DJ.
Yeah.
Like you gonna be doing this like 20 times a month.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. You know, and we were just like, you know, like once he came to, you know, the Indie Ground, we manage him, and it's just like, he just gets those. As much as you need.
Grab that.
I don't know. The game is crazy, and I think people, it's like they need to say stuff out loud before they jump into it. You know what I'm saying? And actually think about what you're doing, because you know times are precious and limited, and use your words wisely, and everything counts, bro. This internet information age, like it's all there forever. Yeah. Everything counts. You know, it's crazy times we live in.
So we've gone an hour.
There it is.
I wanted to bring up the album eventually. Picture Perfect Broke at Home.
You can't do this with me, man. Like for anyone out there, just go get the record. It's a great record. I got more coming. I got some really great surprises around the corner, and as does the label and other great artists and yourself. And thank you for having me on Secondhand City.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for coming, man. Also, real quick, where can we find, give us links and like all those bullshit.
Man, if you don't know, now you know. Steady P, Indie Ground All Day, Loop Gang, steadyp.com. It's steddyp.com. And same thing on everywhere. Just search my name, Google me. I'm out there. And again, thanks for having me on Secondhand City.
Dude, thanks for coming, man.
I did.
Steady P, the one and only. That was one of the best shows I've had. That really was, because it was informative. You were a great guest. I feel like we really hit a stride. That's right. Give it up for yourselves. We did it.
It goes down in the DM. Down in the DM.
Secondhand King Show. Secondhand King City. That's right.
Secondhand City.
Secondhand City.
But
boom. And that's it, I think.